morning.
Okay, Jimmy, you ready?
Sure. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're calling the meeting to order. This is September the 11th, 2017. Before we start, I'd like for us to all take a moment of silence in memory of 9/11, of all the individuals. This is the 16th anniversary. And if it would be so kind if we could all stand and spend a moment of silence in their memory of all of the thousands of people that lost their lives that day. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Vice Chairman, Nick, could you lead us in the pledge?
Sure, please? My pleasure. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call this meeting to order. And if we could have roll call?
Of course. Commissioner Allen, Commissioner Boone, please. Herb?
Boone.
Oh,
here.
I'm sorry.
Bone.
Bone.
Bone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Present. Herb?
Here.
Neil?
Here.
Truex? She had notified us that she was going to be, so it says she was absent. Cox?
Here.
Olivas?
I don't see Alessandra here.
And we did not hear from her as well.
Okay.
Cotago?
Here.
And Chairman Smith?
Thank you.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Okay. On the agenda, we have the election of officers. Is there anyone that would like to make any nomination for new officers for next year? Yes, sir.
I'd like to nominate Commissioner Smith as chair.
No, Commissioner Smith.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Second.
Any other nominations?
I'd also like to nominate Commissioner Cataldo as vice chair.
Oh, as vice chair. Okay.
Or was that done internally, or is that a nomination?
That's fine. We can do that.
Okay.
Is there a second to that motion for...
I'll
being vice chair. Okay. Anyone else? Any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none, I'd like to call a vote. If we could vote on them collectively, chairman and vice chair. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Okay, now we have public comments for items not on the agenda. So I'd like to open it up for public. Did you turn in a speaker slip here?
Yes, she did.
Oh, okay.
Speaking slip.
Okay, we have Deanna Adams for 3 minutes, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
On January the 27th, 2005, Janet Hansen. She is a historic consultant. She put together a nomination for us, Victory Chapel, to be on the Historic California Register of Historical Resources. That was January 27, 2005. She was not treated properly by the city. We invited the city to participate, and they denied. Then on April the 30th of 2005, the 90 days were up. She informed the city that the state is considering the Victory Chapel for the California Register of Historical Resources, which was successfully launched on August the 5th of 2005. This is a very important piece of property. And who is this Janet Hansen that the city demeaned? Well, let me tell you who Janet Hansen is. Because she was dealing with me, the city automatically dismissed her. But who is she? Well, let me tell you. On May the 1st of 2017, Governor Brown announced an appointment that Janet Hansen, 61 of Los Angeles, has been appointed to the California State Historical Resources. This I'll give to you. Everything else you have already in your folder. So if you paid attention and treated her properly, she would be on your team right now giving you advice of how to restore historical properties and advise you and consult with you. She was interested, but she was treated so badly here in San Bernardino that she passed. So we are officially on the state register. So, and then I question, what do you really know about historical properties? When I came here the last time, you had a list of all the properties that should be saved. Are you kidding me? Most of those properties are not listed. Do you really know how to deal with a historical property? You have four of them, the National Register, the California State Historical Landmark, the Register of Historical Resources, and the Point of Interest. There are hundreds and hundreds of properties here at San Bernardino that are qualified. And so recently I spoke with Janet Hansen again. And she says, well, if the city invites me, I will reconsider. So you see, I have the contact, and you have the possibility to benefit from that contact. There are lots of properties that you want to save, but they're not point of interest. They're not the state historical landmark. They're not the register of the national register, and they can be. You only have a very few. So I would recommend that you take a look at your historical properties, and I have a whole list. Do you know the difference between a Tudor? Do you know the difference between a streamline? You know a difference, do you know what an Italianta is, a Mission Revival, Eclectic, Victorian? I mean, I can name them all. I'm knowledgeable, so maybe you should put me on the commission and get things done. I am very keen when it comes to picking out properties, historic, and I also know the history of the properties. And Nick, you are, who's Nick?
Right here.
Okay, Nick, you are the historic buff. What do you know about the mortuary Bobbitt? What do you know about that? What do you know about the
college? I know a lot about that. And ma'am, your time is up. Thank you very much.
So I would recommend that you take a... That you learn about that.
Well, about the history of the Bobbitt.
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm talking about why we were nominated, the essence and the significance of this particular piece of property.
Thank you very much.
Okay?
Thank you.
I also have a speaker slip.
Can we comment on what she said?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Well, we normally don't comment on
that. Oh, okay.
But she's more than willing to... excuse me. She's more than willing to hand that list of properties to the staff, and we'll be glad to research that, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to call on Carmel Rowe, please.
Hi, Carmel Rowe.
Hi.
So I just wanted to say that I attended one of these meetings earlier today, and you can comment because we had a full-on discussion today and we actually got somewhere in the city. So with that being said, the reason I'm here is because when I first read the agenda, it said that you guys were going to discuss the URM. And then all of a sudden, you're not going to discuss the URM, or we're going to discuss when there's going to be another meeting. So if we are going to discuss the URM, you know, there was a whole group of people that needed to be notified. And if we're not, then okay. But even if we're going to be setting, you know, dates or anything, the group of people who are attending the meetings need to be notified. Now, I did see this with my own eyes. It's not there today. Okay, but I've had this on my calendar to show up because it specifically was talking about the URM. So I would assume that's why these two guys are here today, but I don't know if they normally come.
I need to say, this is a Historic Preservation Commission. Maybe you're talking about the council meeting. I don't know.
No, it was
Historic Preservation Commission.
What does URM mean?
It's an unreinforced masonry.
Yeah,
we had a
URM.
Unreinforced
Preservation.
There was a workshop we had.
Yes, we had.
Yeah, we did, we had a workshop.
Yeah, we went to there, and then that's why there was something, a follow-up, and it was on earlier today. So are we going to be discussing that, or you guys aren't aware of that?
That's really in the city council's purview.
So are you guys here to bring that up or discuss anything about that?
That item is not on the agenda.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, may we have the minutes of the last meeting? We need to approve the minutes.
Yes, of course.
Then they've been mailed out.
Yes.
Do we need to read those, or?
No, we provided you with the minutes of our last meeting.
Okay, has everybody read the minutes of the last meeting?
I move that we approve the minutes as stated.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passed. Okay, announcements, reports by the commissioners. Alan?
There's a couple of things that, as the Historical Society here has been involved in, and that's acquisition of 28 acres in Cajon Pass of the Muscubiat settlement of the Indians up there, and then later on the Mormons camped in the same place and called it the Willows. The County Museum Association wants to liquidate the property, and it's a little confusing. First they wanted to sell it to us, then they wanted to give it to us, then they wanted to sell it to us back, and yet we've had no contact. We're working with Redlands on still the acquisition of that, but not only was it those two places, part of the old McAdam Road is in there. Another historic spot for the railroaders was Gravel Gertie's, and it's a spot that needs to be preserved. It can't be used to build a hot dog stand or store equipment. It's in the wash. So that's one of our projects we're doing. Secondly, I'm going to try to meet soon with...
Did it burn a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
It burned last August.
The house is gone.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But our monument and all that stuff is still there.
Yeah.
We have plans if it happens to come our way.
Okay.
And just use it for educational purposes.
That's what I thought, but I'm wondering.
Yeah. Secondly, I'm going to meet with the city soon, when I get some time, and try to have a meeting with Sandbag to get the steam engine 3751 back into the city. And I think that what we need to do to lure that, they pay $1,200 a month now to store it, is bring that back there for 5 or 10 years for free. The two other stub tracks at Metrolink, lease those out to private car owners and have the cars available for display, but also have them mechanically worthy to use. If that be the case, then we can run the steam train from San Bernardino to LA possibly 3 times a year, which would be a major, major draw for this area. So those are the things that we have in the works to try and get the city and Sandbag and everybody to work together on that.
Do you have to find a location for it to be inside or not?
That will come, it's outside now.
Oh.
And I think what we would try to do is generate some donations and funding to construct maybe some type of cantilever covering for it. Maybe something a little more substantial.
Yeah, I was just curious about that.
Was that the one that was here years ago?
That was the one that was in Santa Fe Park.
And it's beautifully restored.
Yes, yeah.
And the reason we haven't had railroad days is because the track reconfiguration at the depot, and then also now we may not have it next year because the engine may be down for flu replacement.
Say it again?
Flue replacement.
What's a
flu? Flues are the tubes that go through the boiler.
Oh, that's pretty important.
Yeah, so it's one of those things we need to, the city and everybody that's interested needs to work on. That'll draw hundreds of people into town, and I think that's something we need to do. Is we entertain a lot of people from out of town already, and some have shown interest on different things around here.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things they brought up was that the property price was more reasonable than other places to develop. That's all I have.
I'd love to see that train.
Yeah. Well, cross your fingers.
It'll be a real plus for the area.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be really good.
And probably a real positive thing that I wasn't aware of, because as you know, there's been a lot of construction on 3rd Street. The access to the railroad depot down there actually was closed for a while, but now it's completely open. And people can go down there every Saturday morning, have a tour, and it's a great experience. So we're talking about the depot, the Santa Fe Depot. They have a museum for the public. You can actually go down there on Saturday morning. They don't charge anything. And there's a wonderful history of railroads and of San Bernardino right at that depot. So I would encourage anyone in the audience to go down. Alan is there every Saturday morning. In fact, we'll be talking about possible programs later on for the Historical Preservation Commission. And I think that'd be a great idea for the commissioners at some point to go down and take a look at that, because that is really our history here in San Bernardino. And I want to thank Alan for all of his hard work. He works very hard at that.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Okay, Nick.
On Saturday, October 21st, the San Bernardino Historical and Pioneer Society will be sponsoring its fourth annual historic tour of Mountain View Cemetery. And it's open to the public. It's $10 per adult, and it's from 3 o'clock until 6. We have two trams. I say Mountain View Cemetery is putting on these two trams. We're going to be touring the grave sites of 15 pioneers, and we have a number of family descendants that will be talking about their ancestors.
Terrific tour.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to have some entertainment prior to that from 2:30 to 3 o'clock. Bob Fraley, who's a folk musician, who will play folk guitar and be one or two people performing. We'll have a horse. In past years, we had a horse-drawn hearse. We had a couple Model T cars. We had people dressed up like the 1880s, the 1940s. And it's a lot of fun. We're going to have reenactors, and it's a good time. And all the money, all the proceeds go to the San Bernardino Historical and Historical and Pioneer Society. So Saturday, October 21st.
Okay. And they do have some refreshments also.
Yeah, refreshments too. Yep.
Is there any thought about Pioneer Cemetery?
We did that about 10 years ago, and it was a little on a small scale, and that was good. It was a lot of fun, and worked out real well. In fact, that would be, in a way, it'd be even easier to, well, we could find pioneers at Mountain View too. And I've had people ask me in recent times about doing it again, and I think it'd be a great idea, but because this is very time consuming that I'm involved with, I would love to help somebody.
Yes.
So when people ask, usually it's, Nick, when are you going to do it again? I'll help whoever wants to spearhead it. Mm-hmm. Mountain View is the one that approached me. Connie Anderson is the general manager at Mountain View Cemetery. And, you know, obviously it's, you know, part of it is PR for Mountain View. You know, that's okay. But they're really, you know, they want to give back to the community. Of course, it's, you know, we're all reciprocating to each other, but it's a real positive event. And it's you know, they're not charging anything.
And you know, I think the county museum puts on a similar event at Agamonte. They do
a tour of Agamonte.
Yeah, of Agamonte. They're about Halloween time. You know, just the fall here.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I think it's good. I think Agamonte.
And yeah, that's really terrific too. Yeah. That's really good.
I'd like to see Pioneer, you know, collaborate.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. The biggest problem with Pioneer is that because it's city run, it's always been a city run cemetery, it's harder to get the cooperation from the
ladies of doing. A couple of years ago, it was looking really run down. Mm-hmm. This past year, it really has taken on at least a cleaner.
Oh, I think it has too.
Yeah. But prior to, it was disappointing to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, in that regard, there's a committee, and I can't recall the name of it right now, but they had a major project once a year, and they're revitalizing this now. It's always in the third, fourth weekend in April. And their entire project this year was refurbishing Pioneer Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
A along with Second Park. And we had probably close to 120 people, volunteers, go out. And to just let you know about what Pioneer Cemetery is right now, there's actually places there to where the tombstones are actually under the grass. Mm-hmm. So we had one gentleman, I can't recall his name right now, he actually dug up, oh, it's the Mitch, it's a new...
Generation Now?
Mitch, who's a new IR guy for the city of San Bernardino, came out and volunteered. And he actually dug up the grass to expose those gravestones, you know, about six or seven. Plus, there are many other people that actually were out there just cleaning up all the tombstones. So we'll be meeting probably later this month and choosing a project for us. It's called Service Council, a service day for the city of San Bernardino. So we'll publicize it more. Margaret Hill is heading that up and just does a great job. So we'll let everyone know what we're doing for next year.
We could do
There's still more of those stones. I was out there not long ago and just kicking the dirt and discovered a lot of them. The problem with the marble, when it lays flat like that and accumulates water, it starts dissolving what's on the surface of the of the stone.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a matter of exposing it to the elements.
Well, you know, Jimmy and I live really close to the Catholic cemetery that's now a park, actually, but boy, it's lost most of the gravestones, I would say.
Most of them were moved.
Many of them were moved. Some have been stolen or knocked over, destroyed. Last year it went through a really hard spell. At the same time, everything was falling apart. The grass all died, but
now it looks great.
It looks great.
It really so good.
I think it has a private contractor that's actually fixing
that's
it up, and it looks so much better.
The phalanx stone is at the city yard, the tall one.
Oh, really?
And yeah, there's a couple more there, but I found out from a city worker a long time ago that the stone, the city owned a nursery on Valencian Highland. There was an old house there and a water treatment deal. That the lot behind that, that one Sunday they buried all the tombstones there.
Yeah.
And now that's part of a parking lot for St. Bernardine's Hospital.
I read about that years ago, a number of years ago.
That's interesting.
Supposedly they wanted the people, the families to claim their you know, the tombstones for their ancestors.
Yeah.
And if nobody stepped forth, they just, you know, dispose of them.
Well, someday they'll be found again and we'll
it's kind of a sad thing.
Thank you. Any other comments here from our vice chair?
No.
Oh, okay. Mr. Cox.
That's it. I have no announcements.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
You never miss a meeting. That's good.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Great. And we had a lot of Mormons come out and help us that day.
Yeah, one of the, talking about Pioneer Cemetery, one of the Eagle Scouts did a project there about 5 years ago, and
right.
Was a big, he set up a plaque, but they did a lot of work
destroyed.
On the graves.
Yeah.
The
really
plaque he put up has been destroyed?
Oh, gosh. It was really wonderful.
Okay.
Just a matter of the community working together.
Yep.
Keep
coming back. I have nothing to report. Regular work.
Well, you're on the agenda later on, so we'll go.
Yeah. We'll discuss that.
I have nothing to report.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. You know, this is a great time to be a citizen of San Bernardino with everything that's happened. We've now, for the last thing, we've moved out of bankruptcy, and we have a new city charter, and there's a lot of good things that have happened. So now we're in the position of creating a vision for the city of San Bernardino. And I know that the city council and the new city manager have talked a lot about that. And when they have some direction, which will be very soon, then I'll be reaching out to the city manager and see how our Historical Preservation Commission could be of assistance to that vision, so we can all work together. It's a team effort to bring this city back, and we are coming back. There's no question about it. And in reference to that, you know, we're talking about housing prices all over California. And housing prices in San Bernardino, although they're higher now, certainly compared to Orange County or Los Angeles County, you know, people are looking not only people for houses, but also corporations because of the cost of our land and so some exciting things are happening. We will continue to talk about that as the months go by. Okay. No further announcements. Let's move to new business. Okay, we've been talking about, as you know, we have the Donaldson Report, which was 1989 to 91. Okay. And this kind of goes into the Bills Act. This is what we've been involved with for a long time, as you know, is as far as criteria. Commissioner Earp's house is actually under the Bills Act, which is a tremendous benefit to the city of San Bernardino. It adds to the historical structure of her building. The topic has come up, though, is that the right criteria we should really use for the Mills Act? The Mills Act, just so everybody knows, this is a state legislation that we work with here in the city of San Bernardino. It gives a benefit to individuals for their taxes, a reduction of taxes, if in fact they sign an application, fill it out. In fact, I believe you have an application right here, and we'll be doing that. The deadline for that is the end of June, so we have, you know, a couple months down the road. But we're going to be publicizing that. We'll be having some workshops, and so I encourage the public to get the word out. If you have individuals that own an historic property, then you need to let them know about that. And Susie, you had come up with some ideas about maybe different criteria to.
Well, Jim, I'm going to make a true confession. We had our last meeting in March, and when I saw this on air that I was supposed to come up with the new criteria, I was like, I don't remember what we discussed in March.
The minutes
are very vague about it. So, you know, but I did bring in a list that we created.
Yes.
Back at the bicentennial.
I remember that.
I mean, actually, yeah.
The bicentennial.
So I'm going to hand those out. These are this is a list of buildings that were on that list for one reason or another, or locations of buildings for one reason or another. This is not an exhaustive list. This is the list that we came up so that we could highlight them for that event. I'm sure there are more buildings that need to go on this list. As we all know, the city does not designate a property historic or not. The Mills Act will designate a city as having historic value if it falls within their guidelines, but the city itself does not actually do that. So it's really up to the owners to make that designation, not the city.
Because we don't have an ordinance.
But the Mills Act does have a sliding scale, which is a property that's 50 years older or more. So that brings us up to a 1967 construction date. Those houses, we have a lot of those, well, I would say many, many, many houses in San Bernardino have been built before 1967.
That are not on the Donaldson Report,
and we do need to update the Donaldson Report. But it's a very expensive thing to do. So where are we going to come up with the funds to redo the Donaldson Report? I don't know.
And the Mills Act, right now, I believe it's 1943.
But it says 50 years.
Okay, so now we can change
years. So 67 is...
What?
That's a sliding
so
thing.
It's like last year. It's resolved.
I was in school, Nick.
Oh, you were in school.
But anyways, I'm going to hand this list out. These are just properties, like I say, that we designated once upon a time.
It's
not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm sure you're all going to look at it and want to add things to it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think we should all put our heads together about what should be on this list.
Well, I think, too, that we need to expand the criteria of what's historic. The only thing we're basing anything on right now is it's 50 years old. Well, the house I grew up in town is 50 years old. There's nothing historic about it. And I think that's something that we need to look at. Did something take place there? Was there a certain personality that occupied that house at one
time?
Is
it unique? Is there something unique about the property? I mean, I agree with you.
You're right. Just 50 years. I guess if it's 50 years, we could look at it, but then we have to look at other.
Yeah, we have to decide ourselves.
We need to develop a criteria.
We do need to develop a criteria.
The state has a list of that on what they consider historic properties.
I did bring in the National Trust for Historic Preservation about how to go about designating it. It's a very, complicated, long thing. But the Mills Act is pretty general, and it's really to incentivize owners to rehab their historic properties by giving them a tax break.
And by keeping up the properties, it's better for the whole city.
It's better for the whole city instead of just tearing them down.
The homeowner benefits.
Yeah.
But the city itself benefits, and it's what?
Anyway, this is just.
Well, thank you.
I give this out.
It's a good start.
I mean, there's a lot of things on here that, we can.
Well, there are many structures that are gone.
There's many structures that are gone, but there's also things like Lytle Creek is on this list. Yeah. Well, Lytle Creek is a historic, it's older than all the rest of us
put this room together.
Yeah. It's, there's a lot of things on it. Where the bear fights took place. A lot of things are not particularly structures anymore, but they're historic in another way. So, but we're not the Historical Society. Historical Society does designate some locations as being more important than others. But the city does not do that. So we just need, it's a slippery slope here. We need to be careful and not step on each other's toes. And I think we do need to be aware. I mean, the only piece of power that we have is when something comes in that's going to be demolished, we can yay or nay that. And all we are doing is advising the Planning Commission that this is a historic property. We don't have any other value, any other power beyond that.
And the commission can do that only if it's on the Donaldson report.
That's correct.
So that's
that limits
that's
us
a slippery
even more.
Slope again. You know,
yes, that's exactly right.
Because, this will. So I guess what we need to figure out is how we update the Donaldson report.
How we
talk about it.
Can we come up with at least a recommendation for the Planning Commission that they consider updating the Donaldson report? I don't know if this is the time to do that, but, that would make a big difference.
It's not on the agenda.
No,
that's true.
And it would actually be something that the city council would have to approve as part of next year's budget. Commissioner Earp did bring up the expense.
Yes.
I know I haven't attended in about a year. Oliver's been staffing the commission, but when I was last here, we talked about a minimum of $300,000 because we're 65 square miles. There's a lot of community engagement that's involved because you were talking about affecting people's property values.
Sure.
If it's not done with due care, sometimes I've been in communities where it does spin out of control. So it's really quite a exhaustive community engagement process that talks about the benefits, because I'm not sure that everybody sees the benefits of having their property designated historic.
Yeah. There's also another issue that we're blind to at this point is that when the Donaldson report came out, there were many things that were left out of that. So there's whole layers of things that are going to have to go into a new historic
They didn't fill out the Department of Parks and Recreation forms. 90% of those properties listed in the Donaldson report do not have the proper DPR forms completed.
And it was a windshield survey. I mean,
yes.
We really want to do it right. We're talking about a multi-million-dollar effort.
Well,
So I have no idea how much the original one cost, but we could find that out. That's the water department did that.
But I think you're correct, Commissioner. You know, when you talk about it, $500,000 or more very easily could be spent on a survey of this magnitude.
Yes.
And just to survey houses that are 50 years old, I don't understand why you'd want to spend that kind of money.
It's almost every house in the city.
So you're, what did you say, 67?
67.
Yeah, and I don't see anything, not less of a certain architect or something like that, that was locally that produced that, that why spend the money on finding out what houses were built in 1967?
Usually when somebody applies for the Mills Act, they do a little history on that piece of property, and, you know, I would encourage us to encourage people to apply for the Mills Act so that we can get some of these property details that are just missing. Now, all the properties so far, I think, that are in the Mills Act actually show up on the Donaldson Report. So there is some evidence that those properties are somewhat protected just because they show up on the Donaldson Report. But we have whole neighborhoods that haven't been designated that we might miss. Yeah. It's kind of a sad state of affair in that point.
And I think Oliver's looking for the ordinance. So Commissioner Cataldo talked about the Mills Act. Is state legislation, and it does say the property needs to be a minimum of 50 years old, but our city council adopted an additional ordinance which said that it needs to be on the Donaldson Report.
Right.
So merely being 50 years old does not qualify properties in the city of San Bernardino for ability to apply for the Mills Act.
And because of that, there's no way we can make it 1967.
That is correct, because the survey
50 years prior to 1991 was, well,
right. The survey looked 50 years back from 1991.
Right.
Their benchmark in the Donaldson Report was 41.
Mm-hmm. Right. And anything that's 41 or older probably has some historic value, and probably it has some unique pieces to it.
So I think it says 40. Although 40 should be 41, but I believe it says 43.
Here's the deal.
Moving forward, my concern is, what do we do from now? What do we tell our future?
Well, here's the deal. As far as I can tell, after World War II, of course, a lot of builders came in and did tracks. They have less historic value, perhaps, than an older house. We have to decide as a city what's more valuable. But what's more valuable is not just an age. Maybe somebody famous lived in that house, and maybe we want to preserve it for that particular
like
thing. So there's a whole bunch of criteria that we need to think about.
On this draft I have from the city, NC 694, in the back it states a historic property defines that. A separate structure site 50 years old or older that has significant historic, architectural, and cultural value, but is not a landmark. So that has to be included in this when we make these considerations, I would think.
That's about right.
And are we as a commission wanting to designate historic properties suddenly? Because our whole point is to do the Mills Act, try to encourage people to sign up for the Mills Act. Are we going to change what we do?
Well, we are historic preservation.
Well, this is part of the city's draft on this, I think.
Ultimately got adopted, and I know that it's been handed out a couple of different times, and I think Commissioner Earp was starting to talk about this. The charge that the council has given to the HPC is somewhat narrow. It is designating properties for Mills Act, and as I think Commissioner Earp pointed out, also determining whether or not properties which are on the Donaldson Report should be demolished and forwarding that recommendation to the Planning Commission. So the scope of the HPC, as defined by the council, is somewhat narrow, and it's really up to the city council to set, as they do for all commissions and boards. Commission and boards get their authority from the city council.
Right.
We're more advisory than anything else, is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Because even the Mills Act recommendation, which is your next item on the agenda, is a recommendation to the council.
Yeah, so as far as, if we're, you know, we have talked about in the past about historic districts. Well, I guess that's not part of our thing.
That is correct.
Well, the Donaldson Report does have some historic districts in it.
Yes,
it does.
I think it recognizes potential for three or four districts. One that Commissioner Hill lives in.
Yes.
I know is one district that's called out specifically. Yeah.
But I mean, it, you know, the Donaldson Report is sort of blobby too. So I mean, it's kind of hard.
Right.
We do need to have it upgraded. But I mean, I have to be realistic too and say, wow, there's a lot of things the city's dealing with, mm-hmm. and I don't want to diminish this particular thing. But also looking at a multi-million-dollar price tag for it, mm-hmm. is this the right time to do that?
Right.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. At that price.
Or do we continue? Do we continue to ask to encourage people to apply to the Mills Act?
Well, you're right.
What do you mean by applying to the Mills Act?
Well,
our applications like tonight?
Yes. Continue
That's within the scope of the commission.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's our whole purpose.
Sure.
Oliver, are you looking for something?
The resolution that Mark was referring to was adopted in November of 2005,
okay.
and it specifically states, you know, it only applies to properties on the Donaldson Report.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the eligibility list, and so... the next step would be to amend the document.
Right.
That's what the discussion has been about. So that would be something for the council to decide.
Okay. So if we were just talking about making exceptions, mention about property that's a celebrity or whatever lived there, or something, you know, we'd have to bring that up to the suggest that the Preservation Commission can suggest that. Bring that up to the council. So that's something that we can do.
We can.
So it's usually the Mills Act demolition, that's what we focus on. But if we want something beyond that, like properties that are not on the Donaldson Report, we can suggest or bring it up to the council.
Mm-hmm. Or bring it up to our.
Yeah.
We've all been appointed by a council person,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
we should go directly to that individual so we can educate them. To come up with some type of decision as a council. So that would be the appropriate thing. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Earp. I knew you'd have.
Thank you,
I don't know if that was what I was supposed to.
It's great. We're talking about.
Like I said, it was marked when we discussed it.
It's very nice. Okay, the Mills Act application. Did you have something on that?
I have.
A single one, right?
I won.
It's a neat
windshield survey of, we had an applicant.
This is okay.
Yeah. One applicant for the Mills Act. And I think we're all supposed to fill out our form.
We're supposed to go do a windshield survey.
Yes, they're supposed to be in today.
Oh, shoot. Okay, can I? Promise the email.
That would be up
to get it to you. I can get it tomorrow.
Okay.
Correct.
That would be okay.
Right. Well,
I've got
the goal is to make a recommendation to the council from here.
Right.
To extend that,
because I've driven by it, I just haven't filled it out, so I can.
I will say that we, if I may, we did get a correspondence from Commissioner Truax saying that she has done the survey and has gone by. She supports the application.
Okay. I support it too. I just haven't filled this out.
I do too. Okay. Could we have a motion in that effect to accept this?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the application.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I said.
Okay. Any discussion? Do we have a quorum? I noticed Ms. Earp is not in the room.
Yes, we do.
We do?
But okay. Commissioner.
He's an
okay, I'm sorry. No, then we do have to wait.
We'll wait till Susan comes back. That's not a problem. We'll just continue that. Okay, so we will take a vote on that once Ms. Earp arrives back. Okay, we wanted to, why don't we move on to the meeting schedule? I believe Mr. Bohm
has... Sorry, I got lost.
Oh, it's okay.
You can't roam it out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to follow you.
I'm really sorry. I can't get lost.
We're going to follow you.
But I've got a lot of storage closets.
We've had, Mr. Earp, we've had a motion and a second to accept this application.
I agree with that.
Okay, so I'll call for the question. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
It's a neat property.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is neat.
Great. So that's all taken care of.
So I'll turn this in to...
And I'm very glad it's...
Do you have your, did you turn yours in? And Commissioner Hill, do you have your survey?
Yes.
Okay, just pass it down this way and we'll get it to Nick and he can send it out.
Yes.
So we submit that to all of you?
Yeah.
It's a big room here. I used to have a small room.
Yeah.
Do we need to official? No. Okay, very good. Meeting schedule, staff?
So I put this on the agenda, I believe when you first became chair, you identified some meeting dates, potential dates, and so I think you had it every 2 months or so. I think you had it scheduled for 6 weeks.
We just changed the months.
So do you have an idea of what our meeting schedule would be like? Do you just want to continue on every 2 months as...
Well, right now, that's what we have. In other words, we're meeting in September. The next meeting would be in December, November, and then January. So we're going to be
we'll keep it the same
during the Christmas time.
Okay.
So that's certainly up for discussion. It's on the agenda. And Alan, did you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think our last meeting was, 6 months ago?
It was in March.
And it seems like a long time between it. A couple of my recommendations, if the chair is unable to attend, then we have a vice chair that can chair the meeting.
Sure.
So that should be no reason to cancel. The only reason we should have a reason to cancel the meeting is if not a quorum. Mm-hmm. And really, I think all other commissions meet once a month.
Correct.
Maybe it would be something we should look at to just keep up to date.
Well, the commission bylaws, and I know, again, we've talked about this in the past, the commission bylaws adopted by the council say 4 times a year. Hmm. So, again, the council sets the parameters for when commissions meet. So the reason that, for instance, the planning commission meets the second Tuesday is that it's what the city council designated. Mm-hmm. So Parks and Recreation Commission does, you're right, meet once a month, as does the planning commission, but that's prescribed by the council.
So that we'd have to approach the council on that.
Yeah.
Correct.
So we can suggest to our council.
Yes.
That.
Your individual council persons, you should contact them and say we need to meet more than 4 times a year. Actually, we're scheduled to meet 6 times a year.
Yes.
But we're in theory we only met although we had a workshop, mm-hmm. HR
on URL.
Okay, and that was in lieu of that was beneficial, but we have I have to look at my notes to see what we did last time. It was 6 months ago. I mean,
right.
It was a whole I'm a whole year older. lots happened.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah, I know. But so when we like Alan was mentioning, we don't have a quorum. We need to reschedule right away. I mean, we could even have it a week later. Is that a possibility? If,
sure. Well, it's up to the.
I mean,
up to the chairman.
The chairman. Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
But to let it go 2 months and then, then we don't have quorum and we let it go again.
So basically, what we're saying, the next meeting is scheduled for the second Monday in
November 13th. It's on here again.
November 13th. Okay, yeah. So if by chance we couldn't meet that evening, you didn't have a quorum. Then we could go back to staff and say, can we meet like on the 20th of November or something? So we wouldn't have to wait until 2 months down the road.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that initially would probably resolve the situation. Would you be open to something like that, Alan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
just so we have some consistency.
You have to have a continuum.
Yeah, I hate to see us not meet that often. Okay. Every 6 months, that's too long. I read the minutes, but I have no idea what we talked about, and now I'm supposed to give a report, and I'm like, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, so one person, I have to update myself constantly with the Donaldson Act and the Mills Act. So with that break there, it makes it difficult to.
So I'll defer to the staff. Would we need a motion to adopt that new policy? I guess it's the purview of the chairman to reschedule the meeting. In other words, if we didn't have a quorum like tonight, for example, then I could go back staff and say, well, why don't we meet next week and see if we
could, but
would that be
there's okay? Then it would be called a special meeting, and under the Brown Act there are different noticing requirements for the Brown Act. Under the Brown Act, so regular meetings are regular meetings, which can just be done with a 72-hour notice. A special meeting has different noticing requirements. Notice has to go to the press, has to be approved by the city clerk. So there is a much more complicated process. It's not as easy as the chair saying, oh, let's meet on Monday night instead. It's a much more complicated process. It can be done. The council has occasionally done special meetings. But it's just a different process that has to be followed.
So we can call it in. We can ask you, and then maybe let us know when.
You would really need a more advanced notice.
That'd be next week.
It would be difficult, on the Friday or Thursday before saying, well, we can't meet Monday. Let's do it.
No, it
would have to be, at least 2 weeks or so.
A minimum of 2 weeks, right?
There doesn't need to be an action on that. It's just, so long as understanding and the commissioners understand that there may be that phone call should there be a need.
Okay. Sounds good.
There's three, just on that note, there's three types of meetings. There's regular meetings, which your regular meetings are the second Monday of the odd months. Mm-hmm. There are adjourned regular meetings, so if you decided tonight that there was some reason to meet in 2 weeks, you could, because the public is here, you can continue tonight's meeting to another regular meeting, adjourned regular meeting, at a specific date. And then there's the third type of meeting, which is a special meeting, which is not announced at tonight's meeting. That's the more complicated process, and it involves noticing the press, and it involves, it's more work. It can be done. The council, like I say, does it, but it's a more complicated process.
Well, I know that we do, just a second, please. I know that at the end of the meeting, the regular meetings, we set up specific time and date for our next meeting.
Right.
Which right now would be November the 13th.
Correct.
Now, if I understand what you're saying, if we felt that we needed to meet in October,
right,
then we could handle that this evening and say that actually the next regular meeting will be an
adjourned meeting.
Again, not to get down into the weeds, because we don't have Steve Graham here, our attorney, but typically, it's required to be an action that you couldn't conclude tonight. So you couldn't, on October 13th, come back with a whole new agenda.
Okay.
You have to... let's say there was discussion, you had 7 Mills Act applications and you only got through 4 of them.
So there must be a specific
then
reason.
You would continue that those 3 items to your next and adjourned meeting.
Okay.
So it's not, the Brown Act is very prescriptive, and I don't pretend to understand it. I'm not an attorney, but I know enough to be able to give you some guidance.
Sure, which is important.
Yeah.
We appreciate Oliver's doing a great job.
Yeah, I know he is.
We appreciate you being here too, because it really.
Thank you.
I've
got very good staff. I feel very fortunate for that.
Right. And Lisa's great too.
Yes.
On vacation. That's understandable. Linda did a great job.
Two thumbs up.
So,
thank you.
Alan, did you want some further discussion on that?
No, I think we're fine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Put my glasses here. Okay, there was another item that was added to our agenda. Okay, this is about vacancies, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there's there at your agenda doesn't have that on there.
No, we added that to the agenda. I mean, this is the agenda, and then I emailed Melinda, and she added these two items. I asked her to make copies of the new agenda with this item.
It was not posted.
No. Okay. This is the agenda.
So we can't do it.
This is the agenda.
Okay.
So Melinda did not post it.
I guess she didn't.
Did you write, is that yours?
Yeah, item for agenda.
I did see Commissioner Smith's email back to Lisa.
Right.
You know, I was, Oliver, I were meaning, mostly I was meaning to give you a call to talk about this, but this was the posted agenda. There was no revised posted agenda.
Oh, okay.
So
Maybe we should talk a little bit about the process if we can briefly.
Sure.
And I completely accept what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if, like, for example, Commissioner Catawba contacted me, and he said, I think this would be a good two additional items
right.
we could add to the agenda. So that's what prompted my phone call to Lisa or Melinda. And it's my understanding that she would add that to tonight's agenda, but that's not.
It didn't happen.
Is that allowed?
It is, yes. The chair can add items, I think, from a process standpoint, because Oliver really is the primary staff contact. It
well,
would
sure.
probably
Absolutely.
Be best chair if you called Oliver and just
okay.
said, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about adding some items. You know, Melina, who is the one that actually puts this together,
sure.
she's not really in a position to say, yeah, I can add items.
Absolutely.
It really needs to be something that comes from Oliver.
Okay.
And Melina's doing a great job. She,
yes.
She staffs the Planning Commission as well.
Oh, she does?
Yes, yeah. she does.
Well, I can deal directly with all of our.
Yeah,
and we can put those on the next agenda.
Right. Actually, it's not. It's not all that. It's a very important item, and it's more advisory than anything else. We're just concerned, and stop me if I'm not supposed to talk about this.
Right.
But we've had openings in the third and fifth ward. Now for months, probably well over a year, and so we're seeking your input.
Sure.
It's our feeling now that staff should be responsible for contacting those council people to encourage them to have representative on the commission. Is that correct or?
Well, I'll go back and look at it. Typically, and I'm doing this from memory, which is never a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go back and look at it. I think people are automatically removed, but you're saying you want those council members to make appointments.
Right.
Is the request from the commission.
Right. So we have a full, so we won't have the issue of
right. You won't have the issue of having to cancel meetings due to lack of a quorum.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I do know that the council member from the third ward has been emailed at least a couple of different times.
Okay.
I've not spoken directly with him.
Right.
The council member Nickel from the fifth ward, I don't believe I've ever talked
actually,
to.
No,
no,
sixth ward.
No, I'm his.
I'm sorry, wrong.
No, this is for the same, you know, who's
yeah.
new on the council.
So that's the sixth ward.
Yeah, sixth.
Okay.
My I spoke incorrectly.
Yeah.
It's the third and sixth ward.
Yeah. We can certainly look at what that process is, but yes, it's really up to those individual council members. It may help chair, I think, if you as the chair contacted them.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I'm glad to do that.
I think the bylaws for our commission, which, you know, Oliver read, you know,
right.
earlier. In those bylaws, does it mention how many?
Nine.
Do you mean how many commissioners? Is it nine? I mean,
yes.
Obviously,
yeah,
we're not in compliance with the bylaws.
Right.
If you don't have the numbers.
One from each ward, and then two mayors and one advisory.
So we, so, why don't we just put it on the next agenda?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Rather than continue on the conversation.
Okay, I think that's, that's great.
Thank you, Alvin.
And, so why don't we talk about that agenda items for our next meeting, and that would be one that we would like to have.
Okay.
Are there other items that anyone has that would be appropriate for the next agenda, our next meeting?
I can't figure anything else.
Would we want to talk more about the Mills Act?
Are we gonna start planning a workshop for next year?
Yes, we probably should start talking about that.
Okay. Workshop for the Mills Act?
Set a date for the Mills Act workshop.
There you go. Marches.
Very good.
Marches.
And I think it would be appropriate, I know that we did this, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Every other month, we actually attended a different facility in the city of San Bernardino.
That was good.
And I'm not saying that that's what we should, but that's something that we might want to consider. Like, for example, we went up to the Area Springs Hotel once, we went to.
There's one building on Stoddard Avenue.
Yeah, but Jim, we did that because I did.
Well, you were
the chairman then, right?
Yes, I was the chair, and I felt like there was a lot of people on the commission that didn't have a real historic sense of historic buildings in town.
Oh, okay.
So I put that together every month.
Right.
And then gave it to Lisa, and then Lisa actually contacted the owners of those different properties. Like, we went to the Fox Theater, and we went to that rehabbed, the old Dye Works. We went to some really neat places,
these
I
places,
thought.
Right.
It was it was very worthwhile. But it does take staff time, and it and it does take, we did
time.
It in between every, so we'd have a meeting one month, and in between we'd go to a historic property. And I thought it was of value, but it does take a lot of work from you, because you're going to have to find the historic buildings to.
I'll be glad to do that.
But you might talk to Mark individually alone about that process.
Yeah, please, thank you.
Yeah,
Because it is a resource issue.
Yeah,
it is a resource issue, and I'm not making excuses, but we are understaffed, like every department in the city.
But you're coming back.
We are coming back, and we're very happy about that. But it's still several years away from being able to say we can do these additional tours.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Oliver and I would be happy to talk to you about that.
But okay. Jim, you might consider like maybe one or two a year and just cut it off at that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the one that is right that we really learned a lot about tonight, because all of us haven't been out to the Railroad Museum.
Right.
Most of us have, but some of the new commissioners, we have two new commissioners here, you know, that are here tonight that have not missed a meeting, but they haven't been to those facilities. So, you know, if I don't want to go to a lot of expense, but if we can just, I'll be glad to make the contact. I don't know if the staff needs to be contacted.
Well, Jim, maybe you can have that discussion with Mark.
Yeah. And I'll discuss that with Mark.
I know a guy's got the key, so.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Well, we'll put him in charge of the tour of the depot.
You know, may I suggest it would be appropriate for you to have a regular meeting at another location, such as the Railroad Museum.
Sure.
It's a public building. Then it could be agendized, and anybody from the public could come. So it would be possible to do two things at once.
We actually had it at the Historical Society one time.
Yes, we did.
Years ago. I don't remember why.
Yeah. Because we had a tour of the house.
You read it what?
We had a tour of the house at the
that's right. That was one of our.
So that was part of our. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So that would be an alternative.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we can talk to either all of them or Mark about that.
Yeah.
Any other items that that we should have on next month's agenda or 2 weeks, November 13th agenda?
So what do you have? What
meeting schedule
do you have on the agenda?
I believe it. I'm keeping track. I believe it's meeting schedule. Mm-hmm. Mills Act workshop.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. Well, what on the meeting schedule?
I thought we confirmed meeting schedule. Yeah, I think it was odd months.
Yeah, I think we've adopted that.
Second Tuesday. Okay, there was no meeting scheduled, I apologize.
But what was the continued item, Oliver, that you wanted to discuss?
No, we were talking about the appointment part and then the vacancies.
Commissioner, yeah, vacancies.
The vacancies.
And then the Mills Act. Sorry, you talked about the workshop.
Great, so we'll have that on the November agenda.
13th.
And we'd like to now call on Oliver or Mark for a director's report.
We don't have any specific announcements at the moment. I mean, we'll keep moving forward and congratulations on your new appointments.
Thank you. Look forward to working with you. In that regard, I would entertain a motion to adjourn until November 13th.
I second.
I offer the, I give the motion.
You're the motion, she already seconded.
You are then.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, okay. Thank you very much and have some cooler weather.
Very good, good job. Congratulations on your second term.